morning.
Good morning.
If you'd like to follow along, our first scripture is found on page 1799 in the Pew Bible, and it's from the Ministry on Reconciliation. We're going to read 2 Corinthians. We're going to read chapter 5, verses 16 through 21. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, who gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And our second scripture comes from Luke. It's page 1623, chapter 15. I'm going to read verses 1 through 3 and then skip down and read 11 through 32. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering to hear him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Verse 11, the parable of the lost son. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there he squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am, starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and he went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him and ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I have been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, and yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fatted calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again, and was lost and now is found.'" This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Marcia. Please pray with me. God of all wisdom and glory, grace us today with the presence of your Spirit, that we might hear today's word with understanding and imagination. This we pray in your holy and good name. Amen. The gospel text today for the fourth Sunday in season of Lent is a familiar story. We call it the prodigal son, or sometimes the loving father. But it is a story about wanting and searching for what seems to be lost, but is always within reach if we know how to look. When we read a scripture, we want to ask ourselves about the scripture and what it tells you. And I like to say, who, what, when, where, and then follow that. So today, the parable begins by introducing three characters. A father and two sons. To summarize the parable, the youngest of the two sons demands his share of the father's estate, which the father gives him. Shortly after being given his inheritance, he runs off and squanders the wealth in wild living, finding himself destitute and in the midst of a severe famine in the land. He hires himself out to be a pig farmer. Now, if you study the Bible and know about pigs, pigs were not a clean animal to the Jewish people. They had cloven hooves, but they didn't chew their cud, so they weren't allowed to be anything, have anything to do with the pigs. Seeing firsthand that the pigs were eating better than him, he decides to return to the father and beg to be allowed to serve as a hired servant on the estate. So he got up and went to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him and ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. Now the father probably was watching for that son every day, just watching the road, seeing if he was going to come home. He wanted him to come home. The son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, servants. That tells us this man had some wealth. He had servants. He had properties. So what is that going to tell us? And he said to the servants, "Quick, bring the best robes and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive. He was lost and found." Meanwhile, the older son had been faithfully working in the fields of his father. Seeing his father celebrating the return of his rebellious brother, he felt angry and refused to celebrate. His father pleaded with his older son to try and understand his joy over the return of what had been lost. It was like the youngest son had been dead and was alive again. He had been lost and now was found. The story concludes with the father pleading with the oldest son. And he, the father, said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found." And the story ends there. We don't know more about the older brother. So I trust that you will think about that this week. What really was the older brother thinking at the end, and what happened to the older brother? Many have concluded this parable is primarily about the oldest son rather than the prodigal. Despite the diverse audiences, Jesus was speaking directly to the religious leaders and teachers of the law. He was aiming straight into the darkness of their hearts, pleading with them to lay aside their trust in their own righteousness and works. "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not for yourself. It is a gift from God, not by works, so that no one can boast." The religious leaders of Jesus' day were trusting in a work-based relationship rather than experiencing the salvation of God through faith. Like the oldest brother in the parable, they viewed themselves as worthy sons. Unless we see ourselves as unworthy, we cannot possibly fall under the grace of God. Unless we realize that we are spiritually destitute, we will never be saved. It is only by the needy who reach out for helping. In Matthew, we read, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Webster's dictionary gives two definitions for prodigal: one who spends or gives lavishly and foolishly, one who has returned from absent. The importance of both brothers in the parable of the prodigal son. Our sermon can often focus on the younger brother, the brother who physically ran away from home. Often we hear the parable, perhaps we can identify with one of the two. Maybe we're more like the older brother, who snubs the grace when given to him by the father. Even though he's home, he never truly is home. And when the party starts, he refuses to go in to celebrate with his lost son. Or perhaps we can identify more with the youngest son. Like him, we have squandered our wealth and ran away from church and faith as much as possible. Some of us even identify with the father figure in the story. Maybe we have family members who have gone astray or want nothing to do with us and our Christian faith. Even though many of us have heard the parable multiple times, we can always glean new lessons from this story. But in terms of the sons, we need to realize that both sons were prodigals. No amount of righteous works can ever earn us a spot in heaven. The older brother abused the grace his father had given him. He thought that because he stayed behind and had earned his inheritance. As Christians, we need to analyze our hearts to see if something similar has happened to us. Do we think that we've earned the grace of God? Do we think ourselves superior to the prodigal sons who returned? If so, ask God to transform your heart to join in the celebration of the lost son and returned home. And while we are all sinners as the prodigal son, it's heartwarming, comforting, and yes, almost incomprehensible that God the Father is willing to accept us back, given the mistakes we have made. What is commonly understood, God wants us to repent. Many people read right over the response, God wants us to have this parable. Consider the background of a biblical passage often helps us to better understand its meaning. And this is indeed the case of the parable. The setting is provided in Luke 15, 1-2, where we find the Pharisees and scribes deriding Jesus for eating with tax collectors and sinners. These Jewish religious leaders of the first century did not think it appropriate for God, a godly person, to interact with such ways of those who were ungodly. Between the opening verses and the prodigal son verses are two more parables that we didn't read today. The first parable was about lost sheep. In the story, the shepherd has 100 sheep. When one became lost, he left the 99 and searched for the errant sheep. After finding it and bringing it home, he rejoiced with his friends and neighbors. In the Bible, people are commonly referred to as sheep. Pastors are admonished to shepherd the flock, and Jesus is often referred to as the chief shepherd. The point of the parable is that God desires to bring those who are lost into a relationship with him. He rejoices when they repent. The second parable is that of a woman losing one of 10 silver coins. The woman lights a lamp and sweeps her house as she carefully searches for the missing coin. After finding it, she also rejoices with her friends and neighbors. All three parables in Luke 15 also answer the question raised by the Jewish authorities, typified by the older brother in the third parable, whether it is appropriate for Jesus to care for and even mingle with sinners. The parable shows that God does care about humans and rejoices when they are rescued from trouble. and so should we. Well, we have noted that the parable of the prodigal son and the two parables preceding it in Luke 15 all point towards God's love for mankind. Many have missed the teaching within it that the basis of God's celebration. After he spoke of the parable of the lost sheep, notice Jesus explained, "I say to you that likewise there is more joy in heaven over one sinner who has repented than over 99 just persons who need no repentance." And after speaking the parable of the lost coin, Jesus said, "Likewise I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Similarly, God greatly desires for us to repent our sins and return to him. God loves mankind so much that he sent his son to earth to die for us. John 3:16. Furthermore, he is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge and truth. The message of grace and acceptance, no matter how far one falls, is one we need to hear again and again. This story reminds us how hard it is to be a gracious God, as gracious as God seems to be, at least as Jesus describes the love of the Creator. Let us be an expression of the extravagant grace of God. Yes, it is a day to thank God for welcoming us home from our wandering, but let it also be a day of extending that welcome in as many ways as possible. Draw a wide circle. There are the ones Jesus longs to gather under his wings, the ones outside our doors. How do we enlarge our vision? How do we open our hearts to see as Jesus sees? How can we scan the horizon outside our walls, longing for those who have not yet found their way home, eagerly waiting, hoping for them, for any to come? How might we gather them up in Jesus' name? Please pray with me. Broaden our gaze that we might live righteous lives, pleasing to you and beneficial to your external kingdom. This we pray in the name of the one whom we adore, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our